Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And Tommy sitting over there. What's on the show this week, man?
We got a lot to catch up on because we've been gone for a while. So we've got a new Nintendo Switch. We haven't talked about that yet, so we're going to talk about that.
We've got
Assassin's Creed news that's weird and interesting, and we'll talk about that. We've got a lot of upgraded games for PlayStation 5 Series X stuff, because that's the thing we still do instead of getting new games. We just get the same games again, but better. So we got more of those. We got Atari news, maybe. We'll see if we get to it. We've got all kinds of stuff. It'll be a fun show.
So it's summertime. We're both extraordinarily busy. I was out of town last week. You have been out of town multiple times and back home. I don't even know where you are at this point.
I am at my house right now. I literally have a flight tonight, and I'm gone again. So.
That's kind of where we're at.
Yes.
And somehow, some way, I have picked up a summer cold because that's what happens to old people.
Yes.
Is that you get sick in the summer.
Yes.
So there's that. I have managed to play some games. I have managed to play a little Horizon, take out a few Bandicams, and I have played a little bit of Mass Effect Andromeda, which I actually bought because I'm looking to get rid of my EA Origin Access account in November. So I bought it on Steam for like $7, which was fabulous.
Nice. Remember, you do have an EA Origin through Game Pass, though.
Yes, and that's why I'm trying to get rid of it. Because here's the thing. I'm a little worried about Game Pass because I'm currently playing Andromeda with mods.
Oh, yeah.
I know that some of the games on Game Pass do mods and then some don't.
Yep.
So that
was a good call.
That was the reason I bought that, because I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was probably wise.
So that's my only knock. I have a lot of complaining to do about Game Pass. I'm having severe issues getting games to install.
Yes.
Another thing that I messed with since the last time we did a show is I started playing Halo again because we did the whole E3 thing and everybody's talking about Halo and how fabulous Halo is. And I'm like, I should really play Halo. And so I started playing Halo and everything was fine one day. And I came back the next day and it's like, yo, you need to reinstall because they updated it or something. So I tried and it will not allow me to reinstall.
Yeah.
Like, I try to reinstall the Master Chief Collection, it does not work. And so I've dug into Windows and found the folder and did all that. And now I'm scared. Like, I don't know which folders to trash because it's not obvious these are your downloaded games. And it's a really, like, we love Game Pass, but the system that they use is really awful.
It is. I'll tell you a couple of my issues similar to that. I'm glad you brought that up because it's a good thing to talk about. I ran into one of these just the other day. So I tried to install Maneater a while back, the Shark PG that we saw.
Right. Because
it's on Game Pass. I was like, why not? It looks like a stupid fun game. I have access to it. I might as well try it. You know, I'll probably put like an hour or two into it, but whatever. But when I tried to install it, it told me that I didn't have the correct parental privileges. Like, it's a mature rated game because you're a shark eating people. Right. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But I've installed other mature games off of Game Pass, and I even went back and checked, like, if I could access other mature games on Game Pass, and sure enough, they work fine. But for whatever reason, Maneater wouldn't. It's all like, I looked it up, and they're like, here's how you fix it. Go into your Microsoft account. I tried that. It didn't fix it. And I'm like, I'm not spending time to do this for a game that I'm not that into, you know? Like, I'm like, right. Oh, I have it. I'm going to fire it up. And if you don't make it easy for me to fire it up, I'm not going to fire it up. And did the same thing with Tropico 6. Just came out on Game Pass. I like those games. I always put, you know, a handful of hours into those. They're fun. I installed it. It just won't boot. It just straight up doesn't load. Like, I hit play, and it's like, here it comes, and it just crashes. And I'm like,
yeah.
What's going on, and, Game Pass? Like,
that's, again,
it's not a game that I care about enough to, like, troubleshoot it for hours. If it's not going to work, I'm just going to go play something else.
And the Master Chief Collection does that exact thing. You try to boot it up, and you get to the main screen, and you go to play a game, and it crashes.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I understand that we're paying like $11 a month with tax.
Yeah.
And so there's not a whole lot of room to complain, but there's some room to complain.
For sure.
Yeah. And so I'm curious to everybody out there that is using Game Pass, if you had these problems, how do you get around them? Because I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
I would really like to play more Game Pass, but it's really hard to play if you can't install the games.
Yeah. So. And it's one of those things. If I had paid money for either one of those games, or if you had, you know, paid whatever for Halo,
right,
you would go and figure it out. You know, like, you would spend the time with Google or whatever, making friends, and going and trying to figure out how to make it work. But because it's Game Pass and it's on demand, yeah, that's something with that kind of devaluing of the product that subscription services do, right? Like, if it doesn't work, I'm just going to say screw it, and I'm going to move on, because it didn't actually give you money per se for this game. I'm giving you a subscription fee, but I could go play something else and not feel like it's a big loss. And so,
but what they don't understand is I'm probably going to buy the Master Chief Collection because that's a good collection of games. That I should probably own. So, but I'm not going to buy it there. I'm going to go to Steam where I know that it works.
Exactly.
And so they're kind of screwing themselves. Like, it's not like I'm just going to go play something else. I'm going to go to another service and buy your game where I know it works.
Exactly. And if there's a game I want to play that's on Game Pass, but it's also on Steam and it's on sale on Steam for, you know, $15 or $20, or it's on Game Pass for part of my subscription, but I know it's going to work on Steam and I really want to play it, I'm probably going to go to Steam to do it if your service isn't working well. So, yeah, at some point you go, what's the point of paying for Game Pass if I'm not actually playing games on Game Pass? We're not there yet.
No, we're not.
Game Pass is the best value in gaming right now. It's insane. But Microsoft needs to get their stuff together to make sure it's working.
If they go up, that's a problem. Like, they don't have to go up very far before I look at this and go, there's other services I could pay for.
Yeah. That are working.
Yeah.
because that's a critical component.
Yeah.
So. Good little Game Pass rant there at the beginning of the show. I like that.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on throwing that in, but that's
no, one, I'm glad you did.
That's one thing that I've struggled with the past 2 weeks, because I you know, 10 years later, or almost 20 years later, Halo's still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
Still a lot of fun.
For sure.
And I would love to be playing some Halo. Yep. One thing that I am successfully playing off of Game Pass is Resident Evil 7. I say I'm successfully playing. I'm an hour in. And two things. It's really, really hard. Like, to the point that I had to turn the difficulty down because I was just getting torn up. And it's really, really scary.
Nice.
Like, it's just like, oh, really? like getting disemboweled with a chainsaw in the first 20 minutes. Held by a woman that just will not die.
Fantastic.
It's freaky. And I don't know that I'm going to get past the first hour, but it's one of those things. It's on Game Pass. I had to try it.
Yeah.
And I told you that there's no scary stuff, really, in the first half hour. You have to try this on VR because I want to know what it looks like, and even more so what it plays like. Because yeah. Resident Evil 8 is not in VR. And surprisingly, that was one of the knocks with Resident Evil 8 that Angry Joe had. I can't believe I referenced that guy so much on this show, but he really does a good show, so I give him props.
Yeah.
That was one of his main arguments, was there's no VR support, and 7 is so good in VR.
Yeah,
And I can see that because it's a spectacular-looking game. And with the audio being what it is, I could see it being really good.
Yeah.
So, you need to suck it up and try about 20 or 30 minutes.
That's
just
fair.
Just saying.
I need to get the VR out for so many reasons. There's so much good stuff. VR wise out there. We don't do that nearly enough.
Yes. So.
One more game we need to talk about in just a second. Let me go through the Patreon guys first, though. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you guys for your support. I will mention there is a lot of content over at Patreon right now. We have been doing, while we were off doing not the podcast, we did put some video stuff together, some stuff from E3 and some other stuff that's over there, some of which is free. So even if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you can go see some of that stuff. And then there's more if you decide to subscribe to the Patreon. So if you're interested in that, go by gaminguncensored.com and click that patron link right near the top of the page. We'd love to have you over there, and you can have more content of us, which is fun.
So I have to point something out, which I think is really hilarious. You guys don't like to watch us play video games. Apparently that's boring, but we can talk about video games with actual footage running behind us, and you think it's awesome. Like, I can't figure that out. How does that work? Like, I realize that when we suck, I realize that we're not really that good at video games. I get it, but what's the difference? Somebody explain that to me.
Yeah, it's a fair question.
Yeah,
because we do get good responses to this video content, which
it's
some of the best video content we've put together, and so that helps a little bit, hopefully. But still, yeah, us sitting and playing a game we think is super entertaining. Nobody else does.
Real quick before you go to the news, I want to get your thoughts on, because this is a big deal for you. You're a big European guy. That's one of your favorite locales. I want to get your thoughts on Fallout London.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
I like the idea of it. It's outside of that, we'll see. I'm not getting super excited about it. Though it could be really great because it's a mod, and so who knows? Maybe they do a super job with it and it's super fun. We'll see. When it gets out and people start talking about it and they're like, "Hey, this is actually pretty good," I'll go check it out. Until then, it's not on my radar.
So that's part of the content that's over there at Patreon. You need to check that out. I did a quick look at that. It's very interesting. I don't really see it being a massive hit because it looks like Fallout 3. But other than that, it's an interesting idea.
Again, if it gets a buzz, we'll check it out. Otherwise, probably not going back to it.
Yeah.
One more thing before we get into the news. We did finish Ratchet & Clank since last we spoke. And so we should probably do a little debrief on that game because it was really, really great. I thoroughly enjoyed the tar out of Ratchet & Clank. That was a blast.
That Ratchet & Clank... is one of the best platformers that either one of us has played in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good.
Yeah.
And it was, the way that I know that it was good is that if you go to the YouTube, if you go to our YouTube and look at Tommy playing this thing, there's some pauses in there. But they're not 15-minute pauses. Like, this is about the most concentrated that he gets.
Yes.
We've got, like, there's some pauses in there, but they're, like, 3-minute pauses instead of half-hour pauses.
Yes.
So that's when you know you're playing something that's really good. And I also noticed that there was a few segments in there where it was very obvious that your daughter was running the character around. And I got a huge kick out of that because at one point she was just having Rivet jump up and down in front of the camera, which I laughed and laughed and laughed because I couldn't figure out what she thought she was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. She had a lot of fun just, you know, playing with that with the controller in her hand and seeing how pretty it is, obviously. That's also a little bit of a good thing for her is it looks like something she watches on TV. Like, it looks like a movie. And so that's a cool thing.
Oh, real quick, we have to mention, it's been so long since we did a show. We got so much. You have new screens.
I do have new screens. Yeah, I forgot about that too. that's a big deal. Came back from your place, E3, and said, "Yep, got to make the upgrade." So did both the TV and the computer monitor. So just said, "Screw it, let's go all the way." On Prime Day from Amazon, found a good deal for a decent gaming monitor and a decent 4K TV. So got a 4K TV now and a 1440p 144 hertz monitor, and both of which are serving me well at this point. I game almost completely on the monitor, and so I'm not gaming in 4K, actually, which I could barely notice, like, playing Ratchet & Clank. The PlayStation's interesting because the PlayStation doesn't have a native 1440 resolution. And so if you want to play at a higher resolution, you have to make sure you have a screen that will down-resolute. What's the word for it?
Down-sample.
Yeah, downsample from 4K to 1440. So I'm playing, my PlayStation is set to 4K, my screen downsamples it to 1440 and it looks great. I can barely tell a difference, you know? And so
wow.
It's fantastic. So I have been thoroughly enjoying the fact that I've got pretty new screens to play pretty games on and super high refresh rates. Cause that's really nice too.
I do not have new screens, but at some point I'm going to move and that will be the first purchase.
There you go.
Is new screens, because you're going to come wherever I'm at and set it all up.
Yep.
And hopefully it will not be the huge mess that it is now. We're going to clean that crap up, because my environment right now is a huge mess.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I guess I've lived around you too long that it's like it's driving me nuts. So, yeah, that's on the list. Duff, we are sold. Okay.
Yes.
We are way into the 4K revolution. Thank you very much, sir, for pushing us.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, for sure. We've got lots of games to play. One more thing I mentioned. It's been so long. Talking about Genevieve playing games, I'll throw out one more game that I've been playing. I picked up Mario Golf. Big surprise there.
Oh, sweet.
And Genevieve has actually been playing Mario Golf with me, which has been a blast. And she's not awful. Like, she can kind of navigate and is, like, for the first time, not just jumping in front of a screen,
right.
You know, like every time I put a controller in her hand up until this point, it's just been, you know, like with Spider-Man, I did it too. And she's just like running into walls or jumping and like, oh, this is great. You know, or Tony Hawk, I did the same thing on all those games. She just jumps, you know, and gets a kick out of it. But with Mario Golf, she's like actually playing, you know, like it's a simple enough game that I could say, okay, you know, push this button and now push that button again. And she can kind of navigate that and feels like she's accomplishing something and is actually doing some progress in a game, doing something where there's more than just, you know, pointless jumping. And so for me, that's awesome. It's really fun to see my daughter get into gaming in a relatively significant way for being three.
And Mario Golf's a great start.
Yes.
Like, that's a great game to start with.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that.
We're playing it with the Joy-Cons detached, you know, so on the Switch, because I still only just have one controller. I need to buy a pro controller so bad. But at this point, I've just got the, you know, Joy-Cons that you can slide into the little thing. But you could also just slide them out. And the great thing about that for her three-year-old hands is that it actually fits really well. I hate playing with it because there are these tiny little things that are miserable to try to play anything with. But for her, it fits right in her hand. And so she also kind of feels comfortable with the controller for the first time, not unable to get her hands around it. She can't get her hands around the DualSense or, you know, whatever Stadia controller I'm using for PC gaming or whatever it is, but she can one of those Joy-Cons. And so, yeah, that's the first time that I was like, oh, this design is actually really good for something.
I love that she's, I mean, that's our hobby. And so I love that she's actually trying to play games, and I understand that it's all because she wants to do something with her dad.
Sure.
You know, when she gets to 7 or 8 years old, it may be a different deal, but I'm really excited that she's starting early and it may be a part of her life, like it was part of her, like it was part of ours.
Yeah.
That's really exciting to me.
For sure.
So,
all that said, talking about the Switch actually goes right into our first story real well. So we'll jump into the news with the announcement of a new Switch. And I'm hesitate to call this the Switch Pro or anything like that, because it's really a fairly minimal upgrade. It is not any more powerful. They didn't do anything with 4K or anything like that. What they've done is upgraded the screen, so it's a little bit bigger. So right now, the standard Switch has about a 6-inch screen. The Switch Lite has a 5.5-inch screen, I think. The new Switch is going to have a 7-inch screen. So a little bigger. Really what they've done is taken out some of the edge around it. So it's still about the same size, but the screen is a little bit expanded. It's an OLED screen. And so it's now the Nintendo Switch parentheses OLED model. That's what it's called. That's the name of this new SKU, which is terrible. It has a better kickstand, which is great, but okay. And has more internal memory, which at first sounds great. But then when you hear that the new expanded internal memory is 64 gigs as opposed to 32 gigs, still pretty low. That said, I've never had memory issues on my Switch. I have, you know, the internal 32 gigs. I have a 128 gig SD card, and it's fine. but still, 64 gigs, pretty small. And the new dock will have a network connector, which it did not before. There's no Ethernet port on the standard Switch dock. The new Switch dock will have a network connector. That's it. That's what you're getting at an upgrade. It's also going to cost you $50 more. So retail price is $350 on the OLED model Switch. Man, is Nintendo being Nintendo.
I would like to sit here and complain for 5 minutes but I'm not going to, because this is what they do.
This is what they do.
Like, this is what they do, and they will sell a zillion units of this thing, and we'll look like fools. So yep. I'm not saying anything. Don't buy this. Don't. If you're a gamer out there with a brain in your head, don't buy this. other than that, that's all we've got on the new Switch.
Yeah, and I mean, if you don't have a Switch already and you're looking to buy a Switch, okay, this one's going to be a little prettier.
Yeah.
Cool. An OLED screen's nice. It's going to be a little brighter, you know, better vibrant colors. That's great. In the handheld mode, it's not going to make a single bit of difference in docked mode, but I think, you know, I saw a stat at one point that it was well over like 75% of the time people are playing their Switch in handheld mode. And so it is more a handheld console than a docked console. And so, great. The handheld screen is going to look better. It's really a pretty minor update. A lot of people are speculating that there's still a Switch Pro that's going to be better, more powerful, 4K resolution, all that kind of stuff in the works. But it's not the thing that we're seeing right now. We'll see if it comes this year, if they announce it sometime soon, whatever. But they've kind of taken the wind out of the sails of the Switch Pro thing, at least for the time being, with this new model.
Let me just mention to you folks that about 3 months ago, I brought up the price of the NVIDIA stock. And I told you, if you had any money at all, to go buy NVIDIA stock. And since I did that, it's gone up like $200. And I think what Nintendo is waiting for is the new version of the Tegra chip. I think, ladies and gentlemen, that probably before 2023, NVIDIA is going to be $1,000 share stock. Like, I think that's going to happen, and I think a lot of what Nintendo is waiting on is based around NVIDIA and the chip. I don't know that. I can't prove that, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, and speaking of chips, just the chip shortage right now,
yeah.
That's a thing everywhere. That very well could have factored into this too, that they may have wanted to do something bigger, but given the issues with getting chips right now, they didn't want to dedicate to that and then have issues of hitting demand with their supply, and who knows.
Right.
Whatever it is, this is what we've got right now, so enjoy your OLED screen if you get a Switch OLED screen version. That parenthesis name just is awful. They had to come up with a better name than that. It's so confusing. We live in a world where, like, video game console names are so bad, like Xbox being the worst of just trying to keep up with which one is which. If you're not in the know, like, we know, But if you're not, you know, if you're a parent buying it for your kid, which is something we talk about all the time, like, it's just so hard to know, like, what makes sense, what's the best one. I love Sony. It's just easy, you know. PlayStation 5's better than PlayStation 4. Done. You know?
I am firmly in the camp with Mike Wilbon on PTI at this point. I guess I'm getting old, but Mike always says that all marketing people, and this is putting it politely, all marketing people need to go jump off a bridge. I'm tired of marketing people. And yeah. if you didn't see his rant about the uniforms at the All-Star game, which I was going to ask you about, because they didn't look real cool to me. Thank you, marketing people. All of this crap is marketing stuff. Okay. And I just, you know, we have media degrees. You have multiple media degrees. I'm not a fan of marketing people.
Yeah, it seems like you have to work to do that bad of a job sometimes. You know, like just,
yeah.
Like it feels like even if you were like not trying, you would come up with something better. Like it actually takes effort to do something that poorly with thinking that it's going to be a good idea. Like that's I don't know. You're absolutely right. That there's this weird world of marketing that is like its own little world, its own little universe where people think they have good ideas and it gets out to the public and you're just like, what were y'all
and
thinking?
Somebody,
it's just terrible.
And somebody is making $100,000 a year right, to come
exactly.
up with these ideas. I'm like, come on.
That's the gig to have right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Speaking, it kind of gets us to our next story, a little bit at least, which is about Assassin's Creed. We wouldn't typically talk about Assassin's Creed here, but this is fairly significant in what the future of the franchise is, and so that's worth talking about. And it created a big stir online just with the way that it kind of came out and all this stuff. So Assassin's Creed, obviously, we've been following. It's kind of, I would call it a resurgent with the last three games, Odyssey, Origins, and now Valhalla, which have all been really critically acclaimed games, have sold well, have done well, and people really, really enjoy them in this new kind of open world, different kind of open world. I guess the original games were open world-ish too. But this new way that they're doing Assassin's Creed games been really good. And other than the fact that they've become really, really huge, that Valhalla is just massive, and that's one of the reasons that I'm really hesitant to start it is because I just know it's so big. That seems to be the one knock, which is not the worst knock in the world that you're making games that are too big. It feels like they'd kind of found a formula that was working well. So, of course, UB being UB, looks like they're just going to throw it all out the window and do something new. And so word came out, a leak that UB then had to address because it was taking over the internet. Leak came out that UB is working on something called Assassin's Creed Infinity, which is going to be kind of the next chapter of the Assassin's Creed franchise. And I say it that way as opposed to the next game, because what it appears that they're doing, what the kind of news was, is that UB hasn't confirmed this exactly, but it feels like this is the direction that's going, is that they're taking Assassin's Creed and essentially making it live service. That Infinity is going to be a continuing platform for Assassin's Creed where they could do lots of different, you know, locales and storylines and that kind of stuff. And so instead of it being a one-off game that you go buy, you know, Assassin's Creed Origin, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you go get Assassin's Creed Infinity and then maybe paying for it, maybe with microtransactions, who knows how they're monetizing this. You get, you know, kind of continual updates and seasons and that kind of stuff that's going to bring new content in over time. Given, you know, the trend of live service games, I guess that makes sense. Also, given people's general, like, not excitement about a lot of live service games outside of a few, obviously something like Destiny has done incredibly well. I think the Division games have done pretty well. You know, like, there's some examples there. Assassin's Creed's not something I need live service for. I just, ugh. Blah. It was just for the first time because we had knocked Assassin's Creed for a while and they kind of got it together. Yubi's like, yeah, well, let's go screw it up.
Do you remember the Matrix Online.
Yes.
That's what this feels like. We both played the Matrix Online because somebody gave us a beta key or something. And it was really bad. Like, I want to say that it was good, but it was really bad.
It was not.
And it lasted, I don't know, about 2 years, and nobody's ever said anything else about it. I don't even know if it's still a thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like about this. Like, if you want to kill your franchise, this is how you kill your franchise.
Yeah. Because it really, I mean, of course, they could do this, it could flop, and then they could, you know, reboot it as a standalone thing again and do it decently well or whatever. They've tried to integrate some of the kind of multiplayer component things into the recent Assassin's Creed games. It's just, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure some people thought it was cool, but I don't think anybody's playing Assassin's Creed because you can kind of drop in on people or whatever and do some of that stuff. The world's fun. The gameplay's fun. Like, it's an interesting way to approach a video game where you're doing these different historical locations and nobody else is really doing that. And so there's something about this franchise that already stands out, that's already kind of doing its thing. And then, you know, like, of course you could continue to do that. And maybe they pull it off. Maybe they do something really cool with this where you're looking at, you know, this perpetual game that has new content on a regular basis that makes you come back into it and on and on. They could do it, but it just, like, why are you screwing with something that's working?
Well, we're talking about Nintendo being Nintendo. This is Ubi being Ubi, yes, is what this is. This is exactly what Ubisoft does.
Yeah.
And if you want proof of that, just look at Just Dance. I mean, that you talk about something that's about to be a live service game, Just Dance is next.
Yeah. Rainbow Six already kind of is, right? Like, yeah, it's kind of gone that direction. Like, it's makes sense for Ubi. But it just, like, it makes a little bit more sense to do that live service thing with a multiplayer game. Yeah. And that's where I'm like, okay, now are you going to try to make this heavily multiplayer? Because I'm not really interested in that. And we saw Square with, you know, the Avengers game try to do the live service thing that's not strictly multiplayer. And it just got weird and didn't really work. And just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems like a bad idea.
We don't get it.
We don't get it. We're old curmudgeons.
Yes.
Not for us. So that said, something that we're old curmudgeons that I don't mind as much, honestly, just because there's games I want to play here. the repackaging of last gen games as current gen games with all these upgrades. We have a few of these to talk about. Sony did do a state of play since last we spoke.
Ooh, was I gotta watch that. I have not seen that.
It was good. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't any big, huge announcements. The biggest focus was some gameplay of Deathloop, which was great. So we didn't see that at E3, of course. That's Bethesda's game that's coming to the PlayStation 5 as a timed exclusive, which is already weird. But they did do a dedicated thing for it, which was great. And a little bit more gameplay. That game looks like it's going to be fun. We love Arcane, and so we'll see what happens there. But a couple of announcements. One was that Ghost of Tsushima is getting a director's cut officially. This is important for us because Duff is requiring us to play this game. And when Duff says we need to do something, we need to do something.
Yeah.
So we're going to get the PlayStation 5 upgrade of Ghost of Tsushima. That's coming on August 20th. That, of course, is going to have the visual upgrades for the PlayStation 5, which already the upgrades apparently for the PlayStation 4 version, just playing it on a PlayStation 5, are pretty great. So really excited to see what they do with optimizing it even more so. There's also new content. There's a whole new island to explore in the game, and so a lot there. They're calling it a director's cut, which for whatever reason a lot of people seem to have a problem with. The term director's cut is a little weird, but whatever. Who cares? I'm excited for an upgrade.
They've only been using the term director's cut since we've been alive. I mean, right. I bought several director's cuts, so I don't really understand what the issue is.
I don't either. Whatever. That's going to be the same one on the next game we talk about is also being called Director's Cut, and the creator of that game has a problem with it. We'll talk about that here in just a second. One other thing that's kind of cool on the PlayStation 5 version is like such a little thing, but is interesting, is that the PS5 version will have lip sync for the Japanese voiceover. That's only on the PlayStation 5 because of the technology, because they're using AI to do the lip sync. They're not going back and recapturing or reanimating. They're using AI to do that. The PS5 is capable of doing that. So now if you play it with the Japanese voiceover audio, the lips will match the Japanese.
Which, let's be real honest, if and this is something... I watched a little bit of anime. I don't know how much anime you watched when you were growing up.
Sure.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. And we're two of the whitest guys that there ever were. But the lip sync makes a huge difference. And I think that's a huge deal for this game. Just for authentic type stuff. I mean... That's a huge thing.
Yeah, a cool thing for them to think about, and good on them for that. The next one that's getting an upgrade is Death Stranding. So Death Stranding is also getting a director's cut. This is going to be, again, the PS5 upgrade, so you get the improved visuals.
We haven't played that either, which is
exactly
awesome.
So two games that we need to play that came out last year that are getting upgraded for this year is great. This one coming on September 24th. So same kind of thing here. It's getting some added content as well as the visual upgrades to it for PlayStation 5. So this is Kojima, of course. Kojima takes issue with calling a director's cut because he says it's not a director's cut, which is just great. Just wonderful that Kojima has a problem with the naming of his own game. So whatever.
I love that dude because he's just like stupid marketing people.
Right, exactly.
Look, I really just this is my game and it's not a freaking director's cut.
Yeah.
I love it. That's fantastic.
I do too.
Yeah.
Of note on this, this has gotten a little controversy online, so I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. If you already own the PS4 version of Death Stranding, it's going to cost you $10 to upgrade to the director's cut. I don't see that as an issue, personally. Like, $10 to get upgrades and some new content, whatever, like, cool. Like, it's DLC, essentially. If you don't already own it, go pay for it for whatever. But if you do already own it, there's a cost for upgrading, and okay, that's the cost. A lot of people are saying if you already own the game, it shouldn't cost you more to get the PS5 version.
You work in the music industry, and because you work where you work, it has changed my thought process on a lot of this stuff. Because if you... pick up an album that is a remaster, somebody had to go into a studio and actually do the work to remaster that music. And trust us, it took way more hours than you have any concept of what it took to remaster that music. This is sort of the same deal. I could sit here and bitch about the fact that I don't want to pay $10. But somebody had to do the work to make this happen, and and they need a little money, and that is part of my reasoning for purchasing Mass Effect Andromeda. Mass Effect Andromeda is not that good of a game; it's a B game, but I put enough hours into it, like. I said to myself, I owe these guys some money. And like I said, because you work where you work, that has changed my thought process on a lot of this. If we get these upgrades, these guys need to be paid. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that you and I are in a much different space financially when we started this show. Like, neither one of us are rich by any stretch. We both have, you know, stuff that we have to pay for. Adulting sucks. We don't have unlimited amounts of money, but we are much better off than we were growing up or even when we started this show. So it's not that big a deal for us to pay that extra $10 if you're not in that space, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, which neither of us are, or you got some tough stuff going on, I can totally understand. And so don't hear us saying that, you know, you just need to pay the money and go on. I get it, but you know, somebody did that work and they need to be paid.
100%.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more there. No problem with it at all. Makes perfect sense in the world to me. So, one more game getting the next gen upgrade treatment is The Witcher 3. There was WitcherCon. Yeah, that happened. Who knew WitcherCon was a thing? But a couple announcements out of that. One was that season 2 of the Netflix series is coming in December, which is cool.
I did see excited that. About that.
That's cool. But the other was that The Witcher 3 is getting an upgrade for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. That will include, you know, visual upgrades. They are going to add ray tracing to it. It is an older game at this point. Came out in 2017, maybe. It's been out for a while. But still a pretty game, and so some visual upgrades will be nice. Of course, faster loading times. And they're apparently going to bring in some content from the TV show into the game, which... we'll see what that is, if it's anything worth dealing with. But if you've either not played The Witcher 3 or are looking for a reason to get back into The Witcher 3, that's a good reason to get back into The Witcher 3. It's a fantastic, fantastic title. Having it on PlayStation 5 or Series X, it's a good reason to go play it again.
Absolutely.
One more thing on CD Projekt Red. Cyberpunk, still a thing. Not quite as great of a game as The Witcher 3, but still a good game. It was the best-selling game on the PlayStation 4 for June, which is wild, in part because it was only available on the PlayStation 4 for about half the month. It was during E3 week that it came back up on the PlayStation Store. And it apparently still sucks on the PlayStation 4 worse than it does on any other platform. And yet, it was the best-selling game on the PlayStation 4 for June. Will note, CD Projekt Red said that they are finally to a place that they think it is at a good stability and performance. So only took them 6-7 months after the game released to get to what they thought was a good level of stability in a game, which is also just ridiculous.
Okay, I know you're hurt, but we got to talk about this. Because we seem to be on a marketing rant and having issues with people. I am getting to the point with Cyberpunk and the amount of money that they are making on a broken game that I feel like that CD Projekt needs to come up with a way to make this right. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's, you know, we just spent 20 minutes talking about director's cut. I don't know if they need to dedicate a team specifically to working on this game and making it better, because they're making so much money on a broken game that I'm beginning to have a problem. I feel like I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like there needs to be a make good in there, and a make good is something that you and I deal with in the business that we're in, and basically means making it right. Like, if you make a mistake, going back and making it good. And I'm starting to feel that way about Cyberpunk. And no, I don't know what to make good is there. But I'm starting to feel like there needs to be one because they just keep making money hand over fist. And the game's broken.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I have issues. Do you? Is that just me?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's definitely something to that. The game's less broken than it was, and that's the good news. There's both the issue with, there's two big issues with Cyberpunk, right? There's the issue with just the performance stuff, the bugs, all that stuff when it was launched. That stuff should be, there should be some make good, like you're saying on that. And part right. of it is they have put out patches. They fixed a significant portion of those issues on and on. So that's a portion of it. They haven't done, they did do the allow you to get a refund thing, which so few people took advantage of, like we said. And so whatever. Right. But the other thing about it is it's just not the game that they had kind of hyped and promised, right? Like the game itself just fell short of what we thought it was going to be, what expectations for it was, all that kind of stuff. And that one is just kind of the nature of gaming, right? Like sometimes a developer just puts out a game that's not as good as people want it to be. And I don't think there needs to be some recompense for that. You know, like sometimes you just put out a game that's not as good.
I agree.
But the broken stuff, the buggy stuff, like that's a different thing. They have gone through and fixed a significant portion of that. It's always going to be a buggy game. There's no way you can make it not buggy. But issues with like crashes, with like if your inventory got too big, right? If you kept too much crafting supplies, your save file would break. That was an early issue with the game. That's a huge issue. That's something that had to be fixed, and they did fix it. And so most of the big game-breaking things appear to be dealt with at this point. Okay, good. I would really love to see, I don't know, what you do at this point to make it, you know, give DLC for free, but that was already, I think, in the plans. You know, something like that to kind of get goodwill back seems great. I don't know what you do past that. You're not giving people money back, right? You're not saying, okay, we charge you $60 for this game. We should have charged you $40, so here's $20 back in your bank account. Nobody's going to do that.
And bugs are a part of games. Like, they just are. As great as Ratchet and Clank was, Ratchet and Clank had some bugs.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. There was a point where I had to restart that game. Not restart the whole game, but I had to restart my that game to get it to work because we got stuck. Like, it just didn't progress. Like, something just didn't happen that was supposed to happen. We had to go back and play, you know, 15 minutes worth of game that we did before because of that. Yes, games are buggy.
Yeah. I mean, that's from a studio that prides themselves on really, really, really well-produced stuff. Like, it doesn't matter how much time you spend on a game, you're not going to find all the bugs. Just not. So I totally understand. I don't know what needs to happen, but you're right. They're not going to give us $20 back. And they shouldn't. I hope, and this goes for the whole industry, especially talking about these service games. I hope somebody out there realizes how important the customers are.
Yeah.
And like the stuff that we've been talking about for the last hour, we started out talking about Game Pass and the issues there. Then we started talking about live service games and the Switch upgrade that's not a Switch upgrade. Like at some point as customers, I love games. I love games. You love games. We love doing the show. But at some point, it's like, I don't really need to keep paying for this.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at something like, just as an example, I've been looking for the last couple of weeks at something like HBO Max, which is $14 a month. You actually get it for free because you're an AT&T customer. I am too, but I don't control the bill. So I have to like con somebody into like adding that to the thing. Anyway, if you look at HBO Max, their app is really slick. You have day and date movie releases. You have all the HBO content. You have all of that stuff. And if there is a service out there that is worth $14 a month right now, it's probably HBO Max. Like, I feel like if I started paying for that, I'd be getting my money's worth. A lot of this gaming stuff that we're doing right now, I'm not sure that I'm getting my money's worth. And what I'm afraid of is if somebody doesn't stop and realize, hey, the customers are the ones paying for this and we need to pay attention, we're going to have a problem sooner than later. Do you agree? Yeah. Do you disagree? Am I talking out in my face?
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. I think at some point there's going to be a rubber meets the road kind of moment where you go, okay, things are going to start changing. You're going to see subscriptions go down, or you're going to see sales go down, or whatever, if this continues. And that's good. I mean, that's not good that's happening, but it's good for the industry to have to make sure that they're able to correct, that they're able to get back on track. If they do, there's no guarantee they will, but if they do, that's helpful. So a yeah. Couple things really quick as we wrap up, go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com. A few things we didn't get to, but I will mention xCloud, the Xbox cloud gaming service, is now available in beta on browsers, which means that it's also available on iOS devices via Safari.
Oh, wow.
So that's cool. Something I'm going to be putting some time into pretty soon. A topic for another day that we'll spend some time on, I'm sure. Netflix apparently is planning to offer video game streaming in the next year. Which, yeah. Marinate on that one, and we'll come back to it on the next show, maybe. We mentioned Moss earlier, or VR earlier, excuse me, and how great VR is. Moss, which is a great VR title, is getting a sequel. So very excited to see
awesome.
A good game get a second run on VR. And then as far as releases go, we're right in the middle of summer, so nothing too huge happening, except for, I'll mention this one and give a little plug, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, the remaster, is out this week, which I'm pretty excited about because I've never played through that Zelda. And if you want to hear about the Zeldas I have played through, there's a video over at Patreon of my top 10 Zelda games. So go check that out. A good reason to hit
it. I gotta go watch that. we talk about this a lot, and maybe we're the only ones that don't do this, but we don't watch our own content. We don't. And so you put some videos up and I sampled them to kind of figure out how we were doing this, but we don't tend to watch our own content. So there's some content up on Patreon that I have not seen. So I need to go watch that because that's very interesting.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So we'll be playing some Skyward Sword pretty soon as well. So like I said, gamingcensored.com, see the stuff we missed over there.
And of course, at some point, maybe before we die, stuff is going to slow down and we can get to doing this show on a regular basis. I spent a week away, and part of that week was at a family reunion. And the question that I got most was, are you still doing that podcast? I don't know how to stop the look of shock on people's faces when I say, yeah, I'm still doing that podcast. And I actually told some people at the family reunion that it needs to be done on a more regular basis. And they looked at me like I was maybe mentally slow. So yeah, I'm hoping that things slow down a little bit, that we can do more of this stuff. I love the video content. I'm going to come up with a few more of those. I think that's really quick, really easy to do. If you have some specific stuff that you would like us to talk about, please go to the Facebook page, the Twitter. You can call us on the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And please let us know what you want us to talk about, because right now we're just talking, because we got to have content. So if you have something specific that you want to hear from us, please let us know. Because I would like to know, I would like to talk about what you guys want us to talk about. Back on my rant for a quick second, we realize that you guys are the only thing that are, that is keeping us on the air, and we appreciate you and all that you do. So if there is something, that you would like us to do, please let us know and we will do that. Other than that, I think that's all we got. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This has been another episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.